The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If justification is by grace through faith alone, apart from works, is sanctification also by grace through faith? How does sanctification work? We will be discussing this on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Thank you for being with us today. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. There you can also read our daily blogs and get information about our free online seminary. That's faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Philippe Sterling.
Well, Philippe, I have a question here from James. And he was talking about the parable of the wedding feast, you know, in Matthew 22. And he says the context here is wedding attendants. When he's reading verse 14, and do you have Matthew 22:14? Look that up there. He thinks that those who are called there or chosen are chosen to rule with Christ. They're overcomers, not chosen to be born again. What is Matthew 22:14?
For many are called, but few are chosen.
Yeah. So this one guy is invited to the wedding feast. He's called. He's there, but he's improperly dressed. And so he gets excluded from the wedding feast. Hodges' view, and it's also the view of Greg Sapaw, who did his master's thesis at Dallas Seminary on this passage, and it's in our journal at faithalone.org. You can read it. Greg condensed his thesis down to about 20 pages for our journal. He argues there that the wedding feast symbolizes the joys associated with the overcomers.
So this is a reward context, and one who doesn't have the proper attire, which perhaps Revelation 19 or the works of the believers.
Right.
Work of
the white garments.
The white garments, or special garments.
Special garments, yeah.
That symbolizes, I guess, their position, their status as rulers, you know, with Christ especially and all.
Right. That isn't James's main point, though. Yeah. His main point is, he goes on to say, I would add that not only that believers are saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:8, but those believers who walk with God do so by faith through grace also. And he wants to know if, he states it this way, you might say we walk with the Lord through obedience, but that obedience is achieved through the grace of God, not through our works or abilities. Does that line up with GES? And I think he's on the right track, but it's not quite that simple, don't you think?
I think he's trying to connect things that are not quite connected. It's true, you know, it's by faith, as Hebrews 11 says, you know, all this, again, approval, you know, by faith.
All these heroes of the Old Testament.
Right, but those faith are then seen as acts, you know, that they perform, or a hope, you know, that they had, like Abraham looking for the city to come. And so we do go on from faith to faith, but yet our works of faith are enabled by grace, you know, certainly, and are born out of a motivation of love. Jesus says in John 14:21, I think, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
14:15.
Yes.
Yeah, and by the way, he says not through our works or abilities. I would say, no, it is by grace through faith, but it's also by our works and by our abilities. In other words, God gives us, what is it, where he's given us all things
pertaining to life and godliness.
Yeah.
And then we're to add on to our faith.
Yeah. Know? You know, the thing is, it's not unrelated to our natural abilities or our spiritual gifts, and it's also not unrelated to our works. In James 2, the famous faith without works is dead, James 2:17, 20, 26. The whole point there is we need to apply our faith.
Yeah, a living faith, an active faith.
Right.
Not let it wither and die.
Yeah, and by the way, John Niemöller makes a great point about this. A lot of people have the nutty idea that what James is talking about when he says faith without works is dead, he's talking about saving faith. No. He's talking about anything we believe. The example he gives in James 2:15 or 16 is a brother or sister in my local assembly, in my local church, who has not enough clothes to wear and not enough food to eat. And instead of giving them what they need, even though I'm capable of doing that, I say, be filled and be warmed. In other words, hey, I'm wishing you well. I'm going to pray for you, but I don't give them what's necessary for the body. James says, what good is that? And the answer is, it's not good at all. Yeah. It's not good for them, and it's not good for you.
It's useless.
It's useless. That's why he says faith without works is dead. He means useless. Yeah. It's not good. The point is, in James 2:15 and 16, that's not saving faith that's the issue. It's you believe that it's more blessed to give than receive, but you don't give. Well, how does that benefit you or the people you're supposed to give to? Answer, it doesn't. So what James is talking about is the need to apply what we believe in Scripture. God gives us all these commands. If we believe those commands are good for us, well, then we should be doing those things. I would agree with James. We do those in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do those by relying on God giving us the enablement to do that. But it's not just I stay in bed all day and wait for God to zap me.
And even the matter of grace, you know, with Titus, you know, the grace of God has appeared, you know, bringing salvation to all men and teaching us to do some things.
Right.
So grace does move us to acts.
Right. We are told to run the race and fight the fight. And Paul says the hardworking farmer is the one who should receive the first fruits. Paul is calling us to work hard. He's calling us to run.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you can submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
Paul says the hardworking farmer is the one who should receive the first fruits. Paul is calling us to work hard. He's calling us to run. He's calling us to fight. And in fact, you mentioned the author of Hebrews does that too, right?
Yeah, he says, you know, lay aside every encumbrance of sin that so easily entangles and run the race that is set before you, looking to Christ.
Who for the joy set before him.
Right, endured the cross.
So the joy set before him is the coming kingdom, and he'll be the ruler. He will have the ultimate amount of joy. And by the way, that Hebrews 12 passage immediately follows Hebrews chapter 11.
Yes.
And that's the great cloud of witnesses.
Yes. In fact, Hebrews begins with bearing a testimony and then ending with bearing a testimony. And then those two by faith doing all kinds of things. And so likewise, you know, we ought to do.
Yeah. In terms of what James is saying, yes, God enables us to please him. He enables us to obey. But it's not automatic. There is effort involved. There is work involved. There is striving involved. We do have persecution. We have three major enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil. And we have to overcome those enemies through the power of God in us. But that takes place by us obeying God. And the obedience, you know, this was hard for me to kind of grasp, and still it's somewhat mysterious in one sense. I remember when I first got to Victor Street Bible Chapel, I had already sat under Zane Hodges for almost 7 years at Dallas Seminary. I'd known him for a long time. I started going to church with him in 1992. And when I first got to Victor Street, I was thinking that the Christian life was lived by faith and the enabling work of the Spirit, but that I had to be dedicated. I had to be driven, right? I had to have that drive. And when I got there, Zane would often teach that it's really not a matter of determination. It's really a matter of obedience. And the obedience comes about through the Word of God transforming our thinking, renewing our minds, and then that transforms our behavior. And so Hodges' point was that if you want to have a transformed life, take in the Word of God. Yeah. That's such a radically different view. Ultimately, of course, I still need to be like James 2. I need to choose to apply the Word. But as long as I'm walking in fellowship with God, I will continue to apply the Word. And it's only if I walk in the darkness that I'm going to stop confessing my sins and applying the Word of God. So it was a radically different way of looking at it, but I have come to see that the power is in the Word. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and changes our thinking, and when our thinking changes, we then have what Paul calls in 1 Corinthians 2:16, the mind of Christ. Yeah. And when we have his mind, we have his life.
Yes, and we have the joy and the motivation to serve. So we have to let the word of Christ richly dwell within us.
Yeah, what is that?
Colossians 3:14.
14 and 15.
15 and 15.
And by the way, that's parallel to Ephesians 5:18.
Yeah. The effects are the same, being filled with the Spirit. The
and
word
it leads to all this singing and all the corporate good things.
Yes.
And by the way, that's something that I think James needs to recognize, is that as we walk in the Spirit, which is not by legalism, but it's walking according to the liberty by which Christ has set us free, which means we're not thinking in terms of work salvation. We retain our knowledge that justification is by grace through faith, apart from works. Well, sanctification is by grace through faith, but there are works.
And to link back to the whole matter of grace, even, I think of it's Hebrews 4, to come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yes.
That we might receive mercy and find grace to help.
In time of need. Yeah.
So I think of that as a daily continual matter, you know, that we come to our great high priest and he imparts mercy where we fail and grace.
Yes.
According to the need.
I love it.
So it's all still by grace through faith that we come to him. But that grace is to help us of doing the things that we need to do. We're given an example then of Hebrews 12 of someone who failed to lay hold of the grace. And that was Esau. But it doesn't mean that the one who does that is not a believer or everlasting life, but they just fail to get hold of that which God makes available.
Even in the case of Esau.
Right.
We think he probably was a believer,
right? I think Esau and Jacob came together, you know, to bury Isaac at the end.
That's a great point. There was some fellowship there.
Right.
He forgave his brother enough to where he's not killing him anymore.
Right. He did desire the blessing and everything.
Yes.
He just lost that aspect.
Well, thanks, James, for the question. Thanks, Philippe. I love interacting with you because the stuff we get back and forth, it's encouraging to me. You know, doing this show is not, to me, just some kind of academic exercise. To me, this is very spiritually edifying for me.
Yes.
I really enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, the interaction, again, encourages and brings us back to the Word.
Amen.
And to let that Word dwell richly within us.
Amen. Well, remember,
keep grace in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, in Malachi 3:13-18, is it talking about justification or sanctification? Join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.